Now for those of you who are very observant, you will notice that we have gone from question 41 last week to question 65 this week. And for those of you who are slightly more than inquisitive, you will wonder why that is. Well, basically from questions 42 to 64 we have a review, if you like, or a study of the Ten Commandments in detail. And since that this is the first time that we've ever gone through the Catechism, I wanted to give a briefer survey of the Catechism so that you get a taste of the overall picture rather than getting sort of in-depth into something like the Ten Commandments. That is in no way to undermine the importance of those questions or indeed the Ten Commandments itself. For in fact, the question 40 and question 41 highlight the importance of the moral law of God. So in no way are we undermining the importance of studying the Ten Commandments. And indeed, this question, which comes at the end of that long series of questions which deal with the Ten Commandments, continues looking at that subject. And the question is for this morning, is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? Very important question. A very important question. And the answer, no mere man since the fall is able in his life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but does daily break them in thought, word and deed. I'm going to ask in a moment some of you to read. Dan, if you would read Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Tom, Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Dave, James chapter 3 and verse 8. And Liam, James chapter 3 and verse 2. And again, we'll just spend a few minutes looking at this question. I want to look at with you, first of all, the subjects of inability. We live in a generation where people are encouraged to think much of themselves, to think great things of themselves, to think that they are able to do anything, that they can achieve anything they want once they believe enough and once they set themselves to the task. But here in our first part of our answer, the simple phrase, no mere man. No mere man. Job could say of himself, I am a worm and no man. And the first thing we must realize when we come to the commandments of God is that the commandments of God reveal us in our true position, in our true place. And the subject of inability is us, because we're mere men, fallen men, and we cannot keep the commandments of God. But then there is the cause of inability. Since the fall, why are we unable? Just because we're human? No. Particularly because of the fall. We are unable. Our Arminian brethren would often say to us that the gospel is a command, and God would never give a command that man could not keep. Well, here are commands that man has given and they can't keep them. God has commanded us to keep the law of God. It's not something that's irrelevant. It's something that is definitive and definite from the hand of God. We are to keep his commands, and we are unable. Why? Because we are totally depraved. Because we have fallen. And fallen irreparably, without possibility, humanly speaking, of getting up again. Just like Lazarus in the tomb, he was unable to help himself until Christ called him forth. But then the duration of the inability is able in his life. No mere man since the fall is able in his life to keep the commandments of God. In this life, therefore, those who teach the idea of sinless perfectionism, those who teach the idea that it's possible for the Christian to get to a state where he can actually obey the law of God, is false. Paul could say, or the apostle could say, if we say we have no sin, we lie. We deceive ourselves and do not the truth. So the duration of inability is all the way through this life, and even for the believer, we can't do it. It is not within our capability. But then the scope of inability. Perfectly to keep the commandments of God. There's a lot of things that human beings can do well, and God has enabled us to do them. But the one thing that we can't do is keep the law of God. Then the repetition of the inability. But does daily break them? Do you ever get frustrated? I know I do. I get frustrated that I keep committing the same sin. That same weakness, that same thing keeps coming back into me and out of me, I should say. And it's a daily thing. And it's we end up saying with the Apostle Paul, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And we get frustrated in ourselves, thinking I'll never overcome this sin. I'll never defeat this sin. I'll never be able to get mastery over it. And that's the very thing we are meant to conclude. It's the very point we are meant to come to. That I'll never in myself, if the Apostle Paul could come to that conclusion, who am I to think I am any better? So those who teach that we can somehow get to a place in the Christian life where we rise above these things, that's not in any way to justify sin. Let's be careful. We're not in any way saying that because we will never overcome these things perfectly, that it's I'll just give in. You know, I'll just let go and go with the flow as the world would tell us to do. Not at all. But then we should have read the scripture there, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20. Dan, please. Amen. There's not a just man upon the earth. But then there's the death of inability. But does daily break them in thought? Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. Amen. Thanks, Tom. You see, the basic problem with those who don't believe in the total depravity of man is that they deny the clear teaching of the Word of God, that by our very nature, by our very makeup, we are wicked. We are completely fallen. It's amazing, sometimes the unbeliever can have a greater appreciation of this than even sometimes professing believers. Have you ever heard the phrase, there go I, but for the grace of God? That's actually a profession of the doctrines of grace in simple form, isn't it? Can we be quiet, please? There, thank you. That's a profession of an acceptance of the fact that unless God is gracious to me, I have no hope. I'm just as bad as the rest. But then also in word, the profession of inability. James chapter 3 and verse 8.
No man can tell his tongue, truly evil, full of deadly voice.
Thanks, Dave. No man can tame the tongue. I certainly know in my experience I've said things over the years. I wish I could take them back. I wish I could grab that word that came out of my mouth and shove it back in. But once it's out, it's there. And it can't be taken back. Indeed, James chapter 3 and verse 2.
For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, saying a perfect man, make also the
Bible. Thanks, man. We see here a progression, don't we, in the last three clauses. Thought, the beginning, the word, and then the action. There's the depth of inability, our thoughts, the profession of inability, our words, and the act of inability, our deeds. And we've said this before, but as we close with this part, with this question, are we to consider these things and then get so overwhelmed that I say, I'm never going to be any good. The Word of God tells me I'm never going to be any good. Are we to become overwhelmed by these things? Not at all. Our immediate response, as soon as we read these things in the Word of God, is to draw us and to compel us where? To the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to give up. You know, like some parents, maybe wrongly with their children, are constantly tell them, I remember one of my teachers in secondary school saying to me, you'll never be any good. You'll never go anywhere. And he almost took delight in saying it. You know, he almost enjoyed telling me, I won't go anywhere or I'll never be any good. Maybe if he was here today, he'd probably still think the same, if he in his sins. But thank God he was wrong. And that's only by the grace of God. Why? Because God enabled me to look to the cross. God enabled me to look to Jesus. Yes, we come to the law, but we don't stop with the law. The law, as we said before, think about this morning, young children, as you went into the bathroom, well, I hope you went into the bathroom to maybe have a bit of a wash. And as you looked in the mirror, you thought, well, maybe I need to clean myself. But you didn't take the mirror off the wall and start rubbing the mirror off your face and off your hands to try and clean yourself with the mirror. That's what the law is. The law is the mirror to show us how wicked we are. To show us how unclean we are. But we don't use the mirror to clean ourselves. We go to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. For He alone and His merits and His righteousness is the power to cleanse us. Amen.